Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 to 8. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There is also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their hometown of Nazareth.
Thank you, Sharon. Doing 1 year ago today? A year ago. Well, Canada was was just getting started at organizing events to celebrate 150 years. ISIS was still a stronghold in Iraq, but hope was in the air that Iraq would soon declare victory over ISIS. Hurricane Harvey, Irma, and Maria had not yet formed, but would wreak havoc in Texas, St. Martin, the Virgin Islands, and later San Juan, St. Martin, and the island of Dominica. Hate crimes would see shootings at a mosque in Quebec, and who could forget the mass killings in Las Vegas, Manchester, England, or First Baptist Church in rural Texas. And we hadn't heard the news of all the sexual harassment in the workplace. The opiate crisis was still on the West Coast. It hadn't yet traveled across the country. There was a lot of bad news in 2017. But 2017 also brought some wonderful news. Did you have a chance to hear about Frida, the girl that saved 50 people buried alive in the Mexican earthquake on September 21st, 2017? She was a rescue dog who sniffed her way to more than 50 people who are alive today because of her efforts. Did you realize that in 2017, not one person died in a commercial aircraft crash? It was a very good year for commercial airlines. And what about us here at Knox? A year ago, you were just at the beginning of the search process. And here you are today, sitting here in this church. Some of you have come through some deep grief and health challenges, and perhaps are glad to see 2017 go. But good things took place in all of our lives too. Do you remember Vacation Bible School last summer? And the wonderful time and joy that was brought to so many young people. The memorial windows that were paid for and installed, and great food was enjoyed in this place. I've been witness to that, and so much more. And here we stand, 1 year later, at the start of the year 2018. And needless to say, the world has resumed its usual order of the day. Airports and train stations are still crowded with travelers returning home after Christmas break. Retailers are drawing large profits from those post-Christmas sales. Companies are adjusting budgets in preparation for the significant increase in the minimum wage in Ontario beginning at the end of January. And there are a few families getting young people ready to return to school, and some of us are returning back to our regular workplaces as well. We stand on the brink of a new year, 2018. What will this next year hold for you? What will this next year hold for me? For those who have sailed through life with relatively few problems, the new year offers opportunities to attain greater success in their jobs, in their financial pursuits, in their relationships with other people, and in their family roles and responsibilities. They face this new year with confidence in their ability to make it once again. They seem puzzled about why anyone would go to church to hear a sermon about doom and gloom of the new year. Because, I mean, God is with us. Isn't that good enough to know? And our faith should enable us to journey through this unknown year with success. However, if the past year has been a year of challenge for you, you may feel a sense of apprehension and perhaps even anxiety or fear about what the next year will hold. But take heart. God knows what you're experiencing, and He wants to help you. You see, many years ago, the people of Israel were on the verge of entering something new and exciting, yet fear gripped their hearts. No, it was not a new year, rather, it was a new land. For 40 years, they had wanted to enter this land. Joshua was their new leader, and as the Old Testament reading indicated that Sherry read for us, Moses was still on the scene, but would not enter the new land with them. The promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, a land that the nation of Israel could call their own, a land where they would be free to teach their children the Torah, God's laws would be upheld. This land was the fulfillment of the promise of one true God, and now it was theirs. But there was a problem. Enemies occupied the land. They had fortified cities. They had armies and weapons. They had power. How could these people be sure that they would be all right? They were willing to follow Joshua into the land, but they were afraid. So through the voice of Moses, God gave the people a message of hope. The Lord himself will lead you into the promised land, and you will destroy the nations living there. Joshua will be your new commander. Be strong, be courageous. Do not be afraid of the people living there, for the Lord your God will be with you. He will never fail you or forsake you. What new lands are you entering into this upcoming year? Will you be moving into a new home or into a new community this year? Are you about to embark on a new career, make a commitment in marriage to another, or take on the role of being a parent or a grandparent? Will you be entering a new school or beginning another year at university? What new crops will be explored or farmland sold? 2 weeks ago, we looked with anticipation to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. We heard the choir sing, "Glory to God in the highest," and we bowed in humble adoration before the manger to adore the newborn king. The promised Messiah has been born, was the message that the angels gave. Then came the days of recovery for Mary, the ceremony of circumcision and the naming of Jesus, and finally, after 40 days of waiting, as commanded by the Lord, a journey to Jerusalem, where the offering was made of a pair of turtle doves and two pigeons as part of the purification custom. A time when the firstborn son would always be presented to the priest, acknowledging that he belonged to the Lord in a special way. Mary and Joseph and the young son should have passed unnoticed by all occupying the temple grounds that day. But this child was the Messiah. This child was God's son. And as the priest Simeon took the child in his arms to bless him, the Holy Spirit moved upon him in a strange way as he proclaimed that his eyes had seen the salvation of all people, both Gentile and Jew. Anna had also been waiting for many years, knowing that God would one day send the promised Messiah to her people. She had seen Simeon bless many children before, but today something was different. She was well aware of the hopelessness that filled the land of Israel. These were the days of Roman domination. The empire was strong and powerful. Its science, philosophy, theology, wealth, and social power reigned supreme, and in opposition to any idea of the coming of the Messiah. Anna, a woman who had lived many years without hope, for not only had she only had the joy of marriage for 7 years, she was childless, a widow, who likely had questioned, why God? But when Anna's husband died, she didn't flee to isolation and self-pity after the greatest blow of her life. She didn't become a bitter, lonely woman to whom life had nothing to offer. She didn't flee to the past, even though at times the temptation to do so still confronted her. No, she fled to God. In the face of death and uncertainty, she dedicated her life to serving him in the temple day and night. She prayed and she fasted. She was willing to give God first place in her life and to give his work the highest priority. She had now been a widow for more than 60 years. But the years had come past quickly, As she reached out to encourage the faith of those who came to the temple searching for their God, her face, which showed serene spirituality, seemed to say, "I am one who never ceases to believe in the great wonders of God." Anna belonged to a godly remnant, a prophetess, uniquely called out of the tribe of Asher from Galilee, an insignificant tribe of which has been said no prophets can come from Galilee. Yet, as Anna gazed upon the enraptured face of Simeon, her heart leaped within her. God, who had watched over her so faithfully for all these years, saw to it that she was not left out of a sacred revelation, this sacred moment. Together with Simeon, she was allowed to see the Savior of the world, and she worshiped him. This was the crowning moment of her life, the answer to the prayers of many years. This was the greatest moment of all ages, the moment the world had been waiting for. The Messiah had come. It was the most natural thing in the world for Anna to proclaim the exciting news. And many people that day heard the good news. The hope of Israel had been born. The Messiah had come. God's word, as revealed through the prophets, was true. The future was unknown, but God could be trusted. Are we trusting God as we walk into 2018, or are we trusting in our own strength? Is our hope in a living God, a faithful God, who sent his only Son into the world 2,000 years ago to reconcile us to God, so that we could be called his children, his people, his church? Is our hope in that God? God has a plan and purpose for each of our lives in the year ahead. Yes, the way may be unknown, but it is known to God. Where there is God, there is hope. How many of you remember the sniper attacks around Washington, D.C. in 2002 when they made headlines in the news? I can still remember those anxious 3 weeks. In September and October of 2002, there was the killing of 10 innocent people in the United States by an unknown sniper. On October 24th, when truck driver Ron Lance drove into a rest spot on Interstate 70 in Maryland, he recognized the Chevrolet Caprice the police were looking for. One sniper was asleep inside the car, the other was resting on the rest area bench. Ron phoned 911, then blocked the exit with his truck and got another trucker to block the entrance. In 15 to 20 minutes, the police arrived and arrested the sniper. 5 years earlier, Ron had no interest in religion. His adult son was a Christian, and when he was dying, he asked his father to promise that he would commit his life to Christ. From the time of his son's death, Ron had been a tireless worker for the Central Church of the Nazarene in Fort Wright, Kentucky. He delivered food to the hungry, ran a men's ministry, and taught Bible classes. Like others, Ron was horrified at the news of every sniper attack. So he joined 50 truckers at a rest stop to pray for the snipers and to ask God to help them to find them. Ron does not think he is a hero, but he is. And there are thousands of other Christians doing similar things who are unrecognized. Perhaps God had a part in the arrest of the snipers and used Ron to bring an end to the path of destruction the snipers left. It is amazing what happens when we give God permission to use us in daily life. For with God, there are no ordinary people. And with God, there is no ordinary new year. 1939 was no ordinary year for King George VI. He was struggling with the difficult task of giving a message of hope to the troubled people of Britain in December of 1939. The year ahead looked difficult and uncertain for the British Empire, as war had been declared only months earlier. What was he to say? His military had fought the war to end all wars only 21 years ago. These were terrifying times, and the future looked very bleak. And so, he tried his best to encourage the people. He concluded his message with words which have inspired and helped many since that day to trust in God. May these same words give us courage as we begin to walk into this new year of 2018. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than a light and safer than the known way." We do not walk alone as individuals into this new year, nor do we walk alone as the congregation that God has called us to be. We have only to put our hand in His and trust in Him as He says to us, "It is I, the Lord, who goes before you. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or